Yolanda, how you been doing?
I've been well. How you been doing?
I've been singing and swinging and getting married like Christmas.
Okay. Well, then,
explain all of that. What does any of that mean?
Singing and swinging and getting married like Christmas.
It's the swinging. What you swinging? The boughs of holly.
And who you married?
Mary is M-E-R-R-I-Y, not M-A-R-Y.
I want to know who you're loving nowadays.
Jesus.
Hey. Do you love me?
I'm too old to be concerned with anybody. I ain't got time for people's emotions and feelings.
You need to come see this show. That's what I got to say.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome to Artistry Avenue, a Reclaiming Our Time podcast, where we examine the intersection between theater and social issues. My name is Natasha A. Jackson, and I'm the Executive Director of Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
I'm J. Marjorie Henderson. I'm the Artistic Director for Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
My name is Juan Isler, and I'm the Technical Director for Reclaiming Our Time Productions.
I can't stand you.
And joining us today.
I cannot stand you.
Hey y'all, what's up? We got another podcast coming at you. I'm just mocking my cohorts here. Joining us today is the incomparable, the lovely, the wonderful, the amazing Rhonda Rabin. Rhonda, say hello. She's joining us by phone, by the way, you guys.
All the way down there where you're at.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of this podcast.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you all for having me.
So let's just start from the beginning. So how did you, because you are, first of all, you are a wife, you are a mother, you are a lawyer, you are an actor, you are a singer, you are a producer. What have I missed?
Jeez,
of all of that, I'm not done.
Say it again.
I am not done, and neither are you. Neither is anybody. As a matter of fact, as long as you have breath and your body, you are here to keep doing what you were designated to do from the beginning of time.
Let the church say. Wait a minute. Go get my tambourine out of my out of my bedroom. I want to go to church today. Amen. I thought tomorrow was the Sabbath.
When did you find your love for performing?
Honestly, I think probably as a child, and I say probably because I don't know. There's a time that I have not been performing, and I would say. I remember as a child, when people would come over to visit, we would pull out wigs and I would pretend to be Gladys Knight and my cousins would be my pips. And I was performing. I've always, found space to be able to entertain and make people smile, laugh. That was fun for me. It always is.
I got to ask, what's your favorite Gladys Knight song? Because you brought that up.
Neither One of Us.
Okay. Come on now. We didn't ask that for you to sing. Oh. That's her thing. Oh. I was just curious.
Oh. That was a hard question, I have to tell you, because I actually do two love letters to Gladys Knight. They are shows. And in those shows, I had the joy of finding like the songs that have meant the most to me. And it's all over the place because I could tell you Letter Full of Tears. And because that's one of the first ones that I truly learned and loved. Mm-hmm. But I don't really have a favorite. She is my favorite. And so anything she does, I love.
Okay, Gladys.
I want to also point out, you're talking about since you were a child, but you have the utmost amazing supporter in your mother.
I do.
And
I do.
I call her moms, too. But she is there.
She, you know, my mom has been obviously from the beginning in my in a circle of influence that basically constantly reminds me that anything is possible. And so she's the one who actually encouraged me to sing and would put me in pageants and in different events and things of the sort where I could explore. And even when I didn't think I was ready, you know, and that was all. People ask me sometimes, where does my confidence come from? And I think the concept of confidence building is with you doing things over and over and over again until you find your niche, so that the thing that you're doing, you don't even think about it anymore. It just happens. And so my mom has been very instrumental in making sure that as a child, I would be able to explore all the different gifts that I've been given and hone them to the point where I just do it with my eyes closed.
That's just amazing to me. And of course, every time I see her, she's a ball of energy. And she's just so wonderful. So I always love when I can spend time with her. And I know that she is your supporter.
Shout out to mothers in general. We've talked about mothers like these last few episodes we've shot. Like moms have come up a lot. So moms, we salute you. It's not Mother's Day, but I mean, we salute you because without you, I don't know what we would have. And grandmothers too. And that whole lineage of women, black women, especially, we have to shout out to them for sure. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah, no, I felt it. So when I feel it, you feel it, my shanana. Mm. Our chakra and all that energy, we give praise to God.
Well, I definitely say that because my grandmother is 93 and still kicking. She is.
That's lovely. And, I'll go further. I say that because they walked this earth, they gave us breath. Even though they're not here, they're here. Mm-hmm. And I know that because this morning when I was out playing in the garden, I started laughing and saying to my grandmother, I bet you never guessed I would be over here cutting a flower. And then I felt her spirit say back to me, oh, I bet you never guessed you'd be doing this.
Wow.
And that just made me say, oh, you're here. That's really cool. So I don't think they ever leave us. I think they're here. Sure. And that's the beauty of also, just motherhood is not just the people who birthed you and the people who raised you, but it's the people who nurtured you and, put dreams in you. And so for all of the aunties out there, you know, and sister friends who just nurtured folks and just made them feel mothered, I think shout out to all of those as well.
Yes, most definitely.
Sure.
Most definitely. So I'm going to segue over coming up. September 6th, 7th, and 8th, there's this show called No Fear, Blues Long Gone, Nina Simone. How did that all start for you?
Gosh, it started back in 2011. Howard Kraft actually was commissioned to write a short vignette of Nina Simone related to an exhibit that was of Nina Simone's artifacts that was at UNC Chapel Hill. And he was looking for a lead actor and saw me in a play that was playing at Man Bites Dog, thank you, theater. And I didn't know Howard, and Howard didn't know me because the funny part of it is, what he remembers most from that show, he says, is my acting. And he didn't know if I sang. So when it came time for him to write the play, he was writing it with the mindset of these are Nina's words. And then we met and I told him I sing, and he was like, well, wait a minute. And so he started swiveling it around, and it was like a really short 45-minute, cute vignette. But you remember, because this is where I really first met Natasha. That place was standing room only. They were turning people away for this thing that was created, 2011. Fast forward, 2018, I got a phone call. I was at work and I got this phone call saying, we got something going on related to Nina Simone. Do you want to do it? And I was thinking, what, when, why, where? I really was. I was very they could tell me nothing. They said it was a secret. And I remember saying to my husband, it was in the middle of the week. It was in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week. And I was thinking, you know, I have a job.
Right.
And so long story short, I just took a leap of faith and said, okay, I'll do it. And it turns out that I was fortunate to be blessed to be singing on Nina Simone's childhood home porch. Because her home was being designated as a national treasure.
Yes.
And in that space, I met her sister. I was singing her songs. I touched the piano. I saw original sheet music where she slept. I mean, that I almost felt like, you know, I thought what I had done before was pretty significant in, you know, picking up this role, figuring it out. She was an idol of mine. I've always loved. And so now I was standing in her space. Mm-hmm. And in that space, Carly Jones was there. And she said, you know what, Yolanda, a long time ago, you did something on Nina Simone. It was a one woman show. Y'all need to bring that back. And I said, ooh, we should, huh? And literally picked up the phone, called Kathy, who was our wonderful director back in the very first instance. Yes. And called Howard. And they said, okay. And of course, that meant Howard had to rewrite the script, because if you know nothing about No Fear and Blues Long Gone, it is constant with the times. And so when we originally did it, it was related back then to her vision of what it was like to have President Obama, a black man, as the president. And it had that moment when he was actually accosted when he was giving his State of the Union address. So it was very relevant to the times. And so we were now some 7-8 years later, he had to come and rewrite it. And so he sat down, Kathy sat down. We called, you know, everybody who had been affiliated with it in some kind of way and said, let's do it. And then we launched in 2019 for the first time, No Fear and Blues Long Gone in this new format. And it was, oh, y'all, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And that's how it came about. So the initiation of the show. And once it got seen again, it flourished. So I would tell you, from 2019, we have been continuing to travel this amazing production. And now, September the 6th or the 8th, we are bringing it to downtown Raleigh at the Memorial, actually at the Fletcher Hall, which is a part of the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts. Yes. And the beauty of this, y'all, is it is me, right? Mm-hmm. So when I tell you that, I say that to say Yodelful Music Productions, which is my company, is the one that produced it in 2019. And, you know, we are just so blessed and fortunate to be able to have produced it, co-produced it with so many people since 2019. But this particular run is my baby. It's something I've dreamed of, to be able to produce in a large auditorium. Beautiful woman, beautiful story, and is here.
I got a question for you, Yolanda.
I got an answer for you.
I heard you mention, you know, looking things up about her and stuff. How long did you, and this is, I'm just doing this for new actors out here. How long did you research about Nina before you got on the stage with her?
Every day. That's how I answer that question. Because Nina Simone was my idol. So I'd always been singing Nina Simone. And when I tell you my idol, I have been singing Nina Simone since I was like in fourth grade. And so I knew her songs, but I didn't know her as a woman. And so once I was asked to do the play the very first time, every day I was listening, looking at, reading, just really trying to discover who she was. Because in the end of the day, in a one-woman show, it's a lot of character acting, because you have to a certain extent, I believe, become that character. You have to tell her story the way she would want it to be told, in her mannerisms, in her voice, in the instinct of receiving the spirit of who she is in the show. That's an everyday process. Now, I will tell you, it's a dangerous process, because the very first time I did the show, I became so engulfed in Nina Simone that I brought her home with me. Mm-hmm. And I would have my kids like say, mommy, come back. And I'd say, what? And not even realize that she had just become a part of me. And that's dangerous. I think that's very dangerous. So the second time when I came back to do it in 2019, I promised myself and my family and Nina Simone that I would give justice to the role, but I wouldn't lose Yolanda in the process. And so there are moments where I will yield to the universe and let her do what she wants with me through Howard's words, through the music, and let it be. But there are moments I also like have like little triggers that I'll say, Yolanda, come back. Come here. Mm-hmm. And that saves me also for knowing where to be on the stage. Let's be clear. And also just how to bring it home, because it's just reckless to be completely lost in the role and not deliver the message that the playwright has thought about based on his research, and also just give credence to the fact that Nina Simone, there's so much good in her as much as there is in the magnetic spirit that she has, mm-hmm. that will just make you get glued to what was that, and need to become unglued from it.
Well, Yolanda, I wanted to ask, I know you mentioned how the show continues to progress and keep up with the times. And I know Nina is someone who also, we know her voice, we know her music, we know who she is. How do you think that the foundation that she left us lends itself to progressing as the show does? Because her music is everlasting, right? How does that lend to continuing to progress the script as you're doing, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I think this goes to the brilliance of Howard Kraft. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about this particular show is I actually stand in Nina's shoes and I speak to you based on life experiences to teach you lessons. And the beauty of it is that the lessons that he has actually brought out of her interviews, her books, her music, it's universal and it's timeless, just like that music is. So no matter what, even if he changes little pieces of the show, the show is continually telling you about the value of who you are, why you're born, what you should be doing on this earth. And so that I love about doing this role. It's like one of those things where, you know, you wonder at what point do you grow out of the role? And I said to myself, when that time comes, I'm not terribly worried about it because there will be someone who will step in it. Because that message will still be true. And it won't be, well, said that enough. I don't think you can say it enough. And I think the key message is, again, the title of the show is No Fear. Right. And Blues Long Gone. It is every human being, I feel, is driving to find that moment in your life where you just have no fear. Finding that time in your life where you don't want to have to deal with the bad and the sad and the mad. And I think she takes you through the journey of all the things that she encountered as a Black woman, as a musician, as a band leader, as a wife, as a mother, you know, as a sister. She carries you through all those pains and all those loves. And she gives you those lessons that says, you got this. Mm. And that's why I said in the beginning, this show is for you, Juan. It's for everybody. Juan made something funny. He said something funny in the beginning. And it just made me say, you know, no stress, you know, no fear. Let it go. Let it go.
So we unfortunately lost Nina Simone in 2003, I believe it was.
That's right.
So how do you, in your opinion, how do you think, what would Nina say about the current state of things in regards to Black culture?
She would say, what the hell is going on down here?
Right. I totally agree. Yeah.
So you're talking to 20 years that she's been gone.
Mm-hmm.
And in 20 years, but things are cyclical, mm-hmm. right? And so what goes around comes around. That's the beauty of being a little bit older, because all the styles from the 60s and the 70s are now hot, right?
Right.
And you're
laughing
and thinking, ha ha ha. And so unfortunately for us, the things that Nina was fighting, I feel, in her time in the 60s have come back, mm-hmm. right? They were disguised, they were hibernating. I'm not sure what they were. But they are very clear. And the beauty, I think, for Nina Simone and her music and her message and her timing of coming back even now, mm-hmm. is that her appeal was to the young folks, right? Her appeal was, you know, you are the future. You are the ones who can actually help tumble down this madness or break down, tear down the lies and the deceit that we are giving. Back in her time, it was masqueraded. Right. Yeah. Wasn't that open. But now with our generation, or these newer generations, I should say, that are here, they take no mess. Right. Mm. And so I love it. Right. For her, that we can introduce her to a new generation who will receive exactly what she was saying 60 years, you know, or some time ago, wow, it's been that long, but that, you know, she's been saying, and empower us. So if anything, Nina Simone is a woman of power, a woman of empowerment.
For sure.
And that's what her music does. That's what this show, No Fear and Blues Long Gone, does. And that's why I feel it's for everybody, because we can talk to the young, but we also can talk to the older folks who know what happened, who can tell the story. Some of us are too afraid to tell the story. Tell the story. And that way we can all learn together and be equipped to tear down, you know, the system that that continues to burden us and tell us that we are not good enough. Tell us that we are not worthy. We absolutely are.
Yeah. And we've seen a resurgence almost of the civil rights movement where Nina Simone's music was as prevalent. And some of those same songs are carrying us over into wherever we're going. We may not see what the end is, but we know that there's an end somewhere.
Right. And she tells you, you're so right, because she tells you, Josh, that she wrote the music to allow us to carry it with us, to use it to inspire us, to use it to invoke us to act. Mm-hmm. And so I love that her music is timeless. And that the fact that it's being heard now, it was heard back when. And I'll tell you, it'll be heard 30, 40 years from now. That's the beauty of Nina Simone.
Okay, so I have a Yolanda question. Let's talk a little bit about Yolanda. Let's get to know Yolanda. I'm sorry.
Yes? Say
Yolanda. Yes.
So, in this area, in the Triangle, how long have you been in? Been doing theater?
So 30 years, right? I moved to North Carolina in 1994, right? Mm-hmm. And my first foray into the stage was actually at Raleigh Little Theater. I had an audition. Now, so here's some details, some unknown facts. I had an audition at what is now the defunct North Carolina Theater. And I tore my anterior cruciate ligament. And I went down to Raleigh Little Theater because I just love theater, right? And I wanted to perform. And I auditioned for a show called Archie and Mahetta Bell. And I remember this show particularly because the main character, Mahetta Bell, had been, foreshadowed as a white woman. And here this Black woman was walking in to do this lead role. And I was new. No one knew where I was from or what I was doing. And what I came to learn is that Eartha Kitt had played the part. And so this is why representation matters so much. So I already knew it was possible. They didn't, but I did. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I walked in having studied. You asked that question earlier about how often do I study. I study a lot. Of what the characterism or how the character probably needs to be portrayed, at least in my mind. And I went in and I got that show. And that was the beginning, I think, of my career, because I won the Canty Award for the show. And I knew I could do anything. I walked in there that way anyway. I'm trying to be funny, but I didn't.
Well, I want to ask kind of a follow up to that. I know you're also a lawyer, and so maybe that study comes from that. How do you balance lawyer and actor? Those are two very, very prominent walks of life. Where is the balance of that?
I think the key word is there is no balance. I think balance is a bad word. I think when you try and balance things, you tend to fall. I don't try and balance anything. I live my life in the myriad of all the gifts and talents that I've been given, and I truly believe that everything comes in its own priority. And for that reason, I shift, right? And so there are things that may have higher priority than others, and based on what I think is more important at the time, I shift to make that work and make that happen. And so you can see in my life, simultaneously, there may be four priorities. You see them all in the forefront. But I knew that, I planned for it, and I shifted. I don't try and balance.
So you got to be able to pivot.
Interestingly, you said the word pivot. I don't adopt the word pivot. I actually stay with the word shift. Think of it as a Rubik's Cube. It has all these different sides on it, and it has a desire, I guess, in its perfection, to be all single colors. I don't believe in perfection, right? Mm-hmm. I believe in progress. And so I can have, all six sides, but two of them only have perfect colors, and the rest is something else, and I'm still good. And so I'm constantly shifting. That's and if you best. Think about it again, at Rubik's Cube, it shifts up and down and around to get either something, two sides, three sides, all colors. Sometimes it's all sides, but most of the time it's multicolored, and there's beauty in color.
It's the metaphors for me.
I was going to say, Yolanda, if you could see Josh and Juan's face right now.
It's the metaphors.
You gave them a word.
Jesus Christ. You gave them a word. Leave your tithe and offering on the altar. What you saying? Rubik's Cube.
If anyone wants to be saved, let them come to the church now. The doors of the church are open.
Oh, my jeez.
Oh, now, I'll tell you, here's another thing. I come from ministers.
Oh, I hear it in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, church folk. And okay, it's right? in there. It's that sing-songy. It's something in the back of your throat.
Yeah, you just hear right? Right. Right. Uh-huh. I did some search, and it goes like back to my great-great-great-grandfather were officers in the church. And my grandfather was a minister in the United Methodist Church, and my aunt was a minister in the United Methodist Church. What we think of it as, honestly, I feel is like it's a gift. The gift is in the voice, and how you use the voice, it just depends on how God, I think, wants to use you. Mm-hmm. So you can do it speaking, you can do it whispering, you can do it giving a kind word, mm-hmm. right, to people. But it's the power of that voice, and that's the gift. And I try and take care of that gift as much as I can.
Yolanda, I want to ask you a question in just one second. I got to call Josh out right now. Josh is one of the people, when Josh is on stage, when Josh is acting, he pronounces all the syllables, he pronounces all the consonants, but you can
love
tell
that.
He's a preacher's child, because just now he said your back of your throat. He didn't put an R in there. So you know where he's from,
right?
And I'm letting y'all know that's real. Yeah. That's real. There is nothing fake about that.
When
that's
the spirit is moving, ain't no consonants.
But fellas, I feel like I'm in the company of family, because both of you and your artistry on the stage is just representative of quality.
Cry, Yolanda.
Right.
No, it's true.
Good saying that, Yolanda. Let me ask you this, because you said 30 years ago you walked in the door and got the lead as a black woman. Do you see theater that Josh and I do today any better when it comes to people of color than you saw 30 years ago?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the quick answer is yes. And the reason is because there are more companies that are producing today that give more opportunities for people of color and women, as well, black women, to perform. I do think that over time, we've come to this realm where we don't typecast, or at least we don't do it immediately. And I feel there are more people who are open to folks being in a certain role. I know a lot of my diverse roles have come because someone said, I think you can do it. And the thing that comes in my mind in that regard, even though it was a long time ago, was when I did I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. That show, as far as I had ever known, was always done by a white cast. And I was the single person they brought in. And the song that I was singing was very flowery and lovely. And normally, again, with me, I sing, as you know, I feel like all kinds of music, but I'm more known for my belty voice. And that concept of that girl can play that part, watch her, I felt was there. And that opened a lot of doors for me. It got me out of being typecast of only singing a certain way. And I ended up recording albums, in particular, a song from one of those shows, just because I can. And when I perform with my band, I actually introduce this song as the one they said I never would or could sing. Mm. Now, coming back to the actual question you ask, has it gotten better? I always say, if better is possible, good is not enough.
You know what?
You know what? They
may the Lord watch. Because what in the world, sis?
We'll have one from another.
Oh, my jeez.
Oh, my God. So as we get ready to wrap this up, I know that we have No Fear Blues Long Gone, Nina Simone, coming up. I want to ask you really, really quickly, what's your favorite part of the show?
Hugging Natasha before I go out.
that is something that
that's
that
a
we,
beautiful
that
thing.
Is something that we do. And, yeah. You know, I don't know if we should have told people that, but that is something before I go up into the booth.
Yeah.
We do the hug. We do.
That's
I
a beautiful
love,
thing.
We do the I love.
It is.
And because yeah. She knows, because it then becomes just trust thing. Because I'm in the booth, no matter where the booth is, she's on the stage, and
that's right.
That's what.
No, that word trust has come up in this podcast many, many times, yes. And in artistry, you are the first partakers of the performance, so you
that's
have to
right.
be able to trust that the people that you're surrounding yourself with mm-hmm. on that stage, they got your back.
Yes.
Because if they
hello,
don't,
and especially in a one woman show,
exactly.
Right? Because once I get on the stage, I don't go off until it's over.
Ucha.
Yes.
And so you're talking 90 minutes straight of let the Lord, you know, open the mind and the feet and the voice and begin. And it is that because Natasha will tell you that that first moment is that moment and it runs from there. And we have after the shows, we will laugh and say, do you remember that? What did you see that happen? Because you have none of that. You have no time to reflect. Mm. You know, as an artist, I have a job. And also, really, as the, I guess, what else would I call myself? I as the storyteller,
yeah.
Right? I have a mission, and I want to know that you understood the story. And I don't care where you got it. I don't care if you didn't get it to the last minute. Mm. I think the actor in me is beholden to the director and to the writer and to the light designer and to, you know, the stage manager and to the usher and to, you know, the patron that I do what I came there to do. And so trust is very important because I don't do it by myself.
So,
and Nina knows that.
Yes, she does. Cause she has appeared. other than, and we will give the dates and information again, but what else do you, what other projects you have coming up?
So, gosh, you guys might be the first to know, but.
Exclusive. We need a button for that. Exclusive.
The album No Fear is getting ready to be released.
Yes.
And come on. It is
the music from the show No Fear and Blues Long Gone, or some of it, I should say. Certainly music that is influenced by the show. And so I'm not sure when this is going to be released, but I'll let you know. I don't know what more I can tell you without telling you too much.
That's enough.
Thank you so much. And then I'm going to be back in Christmas. Is also, I should tell you, my favorite time of the year. So I have a Christmas album called Christmas Time. But I'm actually going to be playing at Miss Elaine's right in downtown Durham. Look out for the dates in December. I'm going to be singing with some symphonies as well. So just check out my website, www.yolandarabin.com. And you'll kind of see where I'm going. But those are coming up, the release of the album and a couple of shows on the road.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for joining us today. On behalf of Reclaiming Our Time Productions, we are really grateful for you to squeeze us in. I know you're busy. I really know you're busy. The show,
but it's good busy. It's good busy. It's y'all good are good busy, busy too.
Mm-hmm. And the show, No Blues, oh, No Fear.
Wait.
No Fear. No Fear.
No Blues Fear.
Long Gone. Nina Simone.
That's right.
September 6th, 7th, and 8th. At
that's right.
Fletcher Theater in downtown Raleigh. And what is it? The Mary.
The Marietta. The Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts, formerly yes. known as the Progress Center.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was
Performing
also,
Arts Center.
Yeah, I was going to say it was another name there too. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, please get them. Showtime, is it a 7:30 or 8 o'clock show? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a 7:30. Yeah, y'all show up on time, okay? Because, see ya.
Please do. Please show, do.
Come in on time. This is it actually is a 7:30 show.
It's a 7:30.
And there actually is a meet and greet afterwards. So check that out. Yes. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster.com. So you can always go to Ticketmaster.com and look my name up. Look up No Fear and Blues Long Gone and it will come up. And like I said, this is a unique thing. When you talk about reclaiming our time, we are reclaiming the stage. Oh, you have a lead Black actor. You have a stage manager, Black woman. You have a director, Black woman. You have the writer, Black man. And all the accoutrements in between and underneath there with people who are pushing forward this amazing Black woman, Nina Simone. Come and support it. Come and support us and show how it can be done. We do come to shows. My goodness, we do come and support each other. Hallelujah. Yes. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'll leave you on this thought. It's very important because I have done shows all my life, a lot, big stages, small stages. And it's beautiful when you look out and you see yourself. Mm. And so come and support this this amazing piece of work. It's worth it. It's worth not only to see it and support us, but you're going to walk away changed. I promise you that.
Yes. Yes, you will. Yolanda, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Love you, guys.
Love you, too. Love you
thank
too.
You.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all. Bye. Bye. Bye.